You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Dallas McLaughlin.
Oh,
switching it up.
Go Padres. Go Padres.
It's like the whole new, yeah. You know, go starting the bullpen.
Travis.
Mixing it up.
You left this topic of starting the bullpen.
Travis, hello.
Hey.
Wow, yikes.
Go Padres.
Dude, don't steal my thing. I just said that.
I'm just thrown off a bit. It's fine.
Dallas, you walked in. You're just like too cool for school.
No, I'm
I get it because you saw Kesha last night. Let's talk about it.
I'm yelling timber. Kesha.
Did she blow?
Dude, everything. Yeah. It was an experience.
Was she free?
It felt free. She felt finally free from the constraints of the music industry. She's clearly doing really poorly for herself. I felt bad for her. The whole Dr. Luke thing is really gnarly, and it exposes like this really horrible underbelly that is in the music industry. I mean,
well, in the world,
make
yes.
No mistake about it. You know, it's like awful, and what her label tried to do is awful. But yes. She's doing fine. It was sold out. And
where was the venue?
Fine. Mattress Firm, Sleep Train, Coors
Amphitheater. Wait. So just because she's, see, we're getting off all of a sudden.
What do you got a problem with?
I'm saying she's doing fine financially.
Her album did fantastic sales, and she sold out an arena.
So you're saying she's doing fine financially?
Yes.
We don't know how she's doing emotionally.
Emotionally, I don't care. She started her career by painting glow
tape
over
her face.
But we should care,
Dallas. Look what's happened this last week. I'm just saying we should care.
She's got songs.
She's got songs. She's got a great voice.
She lights up the dance floor, man.
Here's what I got ticked off about, though. It was Macklemore and Kesha. I absolutely hate Macklemore. And
she opened or he?
He opened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And clearly the crowd was more into Macklemore. They were there for Macklemore. It was, let's just say it was all white people. Like I honestly felt like there was a sign that said whites only when you walked into the arena. I tweeted about it. And like, I'm white. So like, I'm not, it's not a judgment on anything. It's just like, you went to a Macklemore Kesha concert, and I just thought there might be – I just didn't expect it. I didn't expect –
Do you
– And kids, so many kids. Like
– This is like –
Like 11 – like 7 to 12-year-old kids everywhere.
Yeah, they just listen to the beat now. It's not the lyrics.
You're right. A lot of them were leaving, though, during Kesha. So they were all there for Macklemore pretty much. And I can't blame them. When she came out with a huge air cannon that she started stroking like a dildo, I don't.
Oh, that's why the parents took
the
kids out.
That's why the parents probably took the kids.
What's interesting is thinking that everyone was there for Macklemore makes me think I don't know the people around me and my community and those that live amongst us because I don't understand Macklemore. And why people go to see that live.
You know why? Because they make white kids feel safe.
I don't understand.
He makes, remember when we were kids? Remember when we were kids and you listened to hip hop for the first time? Our parents didn't really know. Do you remember it took you a second?
Yeah.
Do you remember it took you, like your parents didn't know what to make of it. Like you
put
on the
Beastie
Boys.
They took my Beastie Boys and my dad literally, this is not figuratively, literally threw the tape out of the car window as we were driving.
Yeah, when I bought Ill Communication, License to Ill, my dad literally took it out of the car and took it away. I like we couldn't ever listen to it. My mom stole my copy of Sex Packets, Digital Underground, and I never got it again. Like, they just didn't know what to do. And so, but now hip hop has progressed. It's the whole thing. Your parents were the parents. Like, we clearly know what it is. And we are, but Macklemore will make you feel safer that your kid could listen to Macklemore rather than listen to, you know, I don't know, whatever Kanye's doing or Sloop John B. What's his name again? The trapped guy? I became the oldest man here.
Okay.
So anyway, but Macklemore, here's the thing about Macklemore. Really good beats. Good beats. What? Are you trying to take a phone call?
Sorry.
Take the phone call.
I don't know who it is.
We can. Oh.
It's a telemarketer.
Yeah.
Sure. Macklemore is just. Some of the songs were very fun. He put on a very energetic show.
Clean.
He's not. That downtown song.
So I don't get the safe part,
what
I'm saying.
Because it's cleaner than. He's white. That's the part. You're not understanding what I'm saying.
Oh, that's so
you
sad.
Know that racism is still alive and exists. We did a whole podcast about it for 3 years. It's. I mean, like, it's just as simple as that. I wish it wasn't as simple as that, but it is. Why do you think you think that parents would be bringing their 11-year-old white boys to go see a freaking Drake show? I mean, maybe Drake.
Yes. Was Ryan Lewis there?
No, I don't think they work together anymore.
Oh, wow.
That's but they say what I miss. I haven't gone to a big concert like that in a long time. And what I miss about those big concerts is how many people just cheer for nothing.
Yes.
Like, Macklemore literally goes, after the first song, he goes, I spent the day yesterday with my family at Disneyland. People lost their minds. Yeah. I was like, what are you cheering for?
Totally.
That he did something with his family? What are we celebrating?
Seems like people care more about taking a selfie at the concert than...
Oh, it was all about that.
Than the concert.
Yeah. But well, and that's what
I haven't seen live
about,
music
is
in
the sound,
years.
Was
it,
it's been a long time for
was
me,
the
too.
Sound good?
Sound was great.
What? Not sound too loud and distorted?
Well, I like it loud, so I don't. It wasn't distorted, but what sucks about those concerts, though, is we had a box, and so we had a good seat, but they have those big video screens. Wow, why couldn't I think of that word? On the side of the stage, you know? And you just found yourself watching the screen while the artist is right there in front of you. And it's like, oh, I just want a clearer picture of their eyes. Like, I don't know why I was doing that. But Kesha came out. She was very – I like Kesha. We saw her a couple years ago at Pride. She played San Diego Pride and did like a 30-minute set. And it was fun.
So
she was enjoyable.
You're actually like a groupie now.
My wife loves Kesha. And we got the opportunity to go for free. And so we went.
You're on the Kesha journey, which is cool. Yeah.
It was a bit, I mean, like, you know, they get very preachy. Yeah. And I'm like, you can't get preachy when you literally just took a rainbow light up dildo and jerked it off. Like, you can't, sorry. Like, it's just, they don't connect. But anyway, it was fun.
Trying to relate.
My wife had a blast. Everybody we were with had a blast. Everybody there was having a good time. I enjoy it when you go to a concert and everybody's having a good time. But myself, I was in a different headspace at the time. I kind of just sat there.
So how are you feeling now?
Well, it was a weird night. I don't mean to get into it, but my friend, I have a friend of mine died. And so it was.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh gosh.
So, yeah, I posted on Facebook, but a stand up in the community died. And so it was, and I got sent a text during the show. And so I was like, oh, okay, great. So that kind of like messed up the show for me. So it was weird. But the reason why I walked in weird was because traffic.
Oh.
Sucks. Oh, yes.
I walked in. I'm tired.
Again,
traffic sucks.
Being around our fellow community members, Macklemore fans, it's like, what is wrong with people on the road?
I'm so tired all the
traffic
time.
Is just...
Or your parents.
I have a 2-year-old, and
me too.
He is pushing back on everything.
Yeah, that doesn't stop.
He doesn't
bro.
Sleep.
Nope.
It's like I'm humanity, and he's Twitter. And the more I shove into him, the more he destroys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we got a great episode for you tonight. We're gonna talk to Sack Bunts Dustin.
Sack Bunt. You say you think Bunts.
Is it not plural?
No, it is not.
Sack Bunt.
Sack Bunt Dustin.
I'm gonna ask him about that.
Your note is here. it's on our notes.
You literally wrote it.
Dustin Palminteri.
Did you write Bunts?
I thought it was Bunts. I don't.
Oh, you did write Bunts.
Okay. He's a great writer, and he's a great guy. And
he's
we're going to talk to him about a lot of things dealing with the Padres. But, let's...
We flipped, but it doesn't matter. Now you feel weird about bringing it up.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
What?
Nothing. It doesn't matter.
It matters to the listeners.
Does it really? No.
Hashtag, what is the mystery thing Dallas is talking about? If you want to know.
Tweet at us, Dallas's mystery.
Hashtag Dallas's mystery. Yes. I had a fun time at the concert. What was the last concert you saw, by the way? I'm just thinking about that now.
Well, my wife's in a band. They're called the Fictitious Dishes, and I go to those shows all the time. They have a
except
new record.
Except for the one that I was headlining. The one show where I was headlining a comedy show, and then after the show was a concert, and his wife's band was headlining the concert. He didn't go to that show.
Yeah.
We could have done both. Killed two birds with one stone.
We could have hung out down at IB. It would have been a good time. Maybe get stabbed. Who knows? Amazing. What about you, Travis? Amazing. New Order hasn't played in a while, so I can't imagine you've been to
actually,
a concert.
They have. And
really?
I missed it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The last concert I went to, I think, was the Faith Hill Tim McGraw reunion tour.
Oh, and you just made fun of me for Kesha. Wow.
No, it's the same issue.
But they came out with a rainbow dildo.
Yes. And we won't talk about what they did for but it had all the same issues of the screen, and you would just watch this huge jumbotron. What was the point of them actually being there?
Yeah.
I really can't remember.
But it's for my wife,
like
Dallas.
Big show.
Dallas, I would not go to that for myself.
Yeah, I would never have gone
And
for
he
myself.
Didn't sing that's the cowboy in me, and I was very disappointed. The one song I can relate to.
Well, and here's the thing.
And he didn't sing it.
Kesha's songs are very fun, and you're like, like you're just having a good time, and you're. And she goes, she stops the show, right? And she goes,
don't stop.
I'm going to sing a song from one of my heroes, Dolly Parton. And my wife and I go, oh, it better be Jolene. And they're like, it's no way it's going to be Jolene. And it was Jolene, and we were so excited. And then she does this slow, very slow version of Jolene. And we're like, oh, this is the worst way you can do Jolene. like, how could, why? But her, she's got a great voice. So you're like, well, she's killing it, but I don't want to hear this. I want to hear Jolene. No
she
tricks.
She wants to show that she's a real artist. Yeah, that whatever. She can actually sing. She's not just synthesizers and bubblegum.
There's a great video of
Rainbow
her,
Dildos.
Her and Ben Folds doing a song together. It's a great video. He plays piano and she sings. It's on YouTube. You can search it.
Well, let's call a great artist who's found his voice. Dustin Palmentier.
Sack Bunts.
Dustin.
LeBron James is terrible.
Hey, Dustin, what's going on? You're on the Kept Faith. Yeah.
Sorry. We're not live yet, are we?
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is live. This is live. Hey,
Going out to our 1,000 listeners live.
So, how do you feel about the Padres season so far?
It's going a little better than expected, I would say. It's been fun to watch the games where they're at least competitive, and you know, we'll see how it goes. But it's been a little more entertaining than usual, I think.
Yeah, they've been playing better than we all thought they would, actually. It seems like they've had an uptick this month.
Yeah, what are they, like 10 out of the last 14 or something? It's kind of crazy. They're working on their fifth straight winning series.
Yeah, they keep teams to lose the first game of the series, and then they're kind of lulling these teams to sleep, and then they're coming back, you know, winning the last couple of games. So that's been kind of an interesting development, But yeah, I think the schedule in the first half was really, or the first couple of months was really tough, and it's kind of lightened up here. So I think that has helped them kind of look like they're playing a little bit better. Yeah. Anyways, excuse me.
Yeah. So I mean, do you think they're going to go for it moving forward? Are they gonna trade Brad Hand?
I think obviously it depends on the next month or two here before the deadline. But I have a feeling that they're going to kind of slow down a little bit. And they're going to decide to trade some players. I don't know if they're going to trade Hand. Obviously, they didn't trade him last year, and that was kind of a surprise, I think. So it's not a sure thing that they're going to trade him this year. I think like Tyson Ross, it would be surprising if they didn't move him just because he's only under control for the rest of this year. But with Hand, they have him for a few years. Personally, I would probably trade him right now. It seems like his value is at a peak right now. And as long as they can get a good deal for him, it seems like a good time to trade him. But we kind of said the same thing last year, and they didn't. So we'll kind of see how it goes as we get to July.
Right. How do you feel about the way they've been using him lately? Like they've been using him earlier in the game. They're not just staying to the traditional technique of like putting him in at the end. I mean, do you think that's going to be a trend moving forward?
Yeah, I think if you look across baseball over the past couple of years, it's been kind of a slowly building trend where teams are doing that. Like the Indians with Andrew Miller have done that quite a bit. And I think Brad Hand gets compared to him quite a bit. So it's interesting that the Padres have kind of decided to do that. But I think it's always a good strategy. You know, saving your best pitcher for the ninth inning with a three-run lead doesn't always make sense. There are more important situations that come up earlier in the game, especially, you know, if you're facing the middle of the order in the eighth inning or something like that. And I know they've gone to him in that situation a couple of times. So I think that's a positive development. I hope it's something that they continue to do, whether it's with Hand or, you know, whoever else becomes the closer down the road. Something that they continue to do as they get more competitive over the next few years.
Well, I wonder with this new, like, starting the bullpen. Strom yesterday went three perfect innings, right? Is this the beginning of the end of the starting pitcher? I mean, if I haven't done the math yet, but if you look at it, if a guy used to go once every 5 days can go once every 3 days because they're only doing three innings, is the future of baseball where it's just a bunch of guys that do three or 2 to 3 innings? I don't know.
I think it's going in that direction, but I mean, personally, I kind of side with people who, you know, like the traditional starting pitcher. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I kind of like, you know, going out to see, you know, whether it's Jake Peavy back in the day or Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers or whatever. So I think there'll always be, you know, the pitchers who are good enough who are gonna be able to start and go as long as they can. But maybe towards that fourth and fifth spot in the rotation, you're going to see teams more often doing what the Padres are doing or doing what the Tampa Bay Rays are doing, where they're going to some type of bullpen game and they're trying to, you know, just maximize their chances of winning that day by shortening everybody's outing and throwing more pitchers out there. So I definitely think it's a trend that's going to continue, especially with teams like the Padres and Rays doing it this year. You're going to see other teams kind of catching on and trying the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, when it works, you keep doing it, right?
Yeah, it seems like there's going to be there's always going to be teams in the same situation as the Padres, and I guess the Rays too, like where they're showcasing talent. I mean, you look at the Padres system and their roster, they have so many guys that they need to showcase as trade pieces, potentially, if they have such a wealth of talent now. Hot lava talent, I guess. That's
hashtag.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, what didn't they acquire Stram, though, with the idea that he could be a starter? They were looking at him in the rotation in spring training. So it's not out of question that he would start a game, technically. You know, I mean, if one of the guys falters, he could be the guy to pick up in the rotation.
Yeah, I think their plan with him, I would think, is to keep kind of stretching him out. I know last time out, he went 3 innings. I think that was his high for the season. 36 pitches is still quite low, but I believe that was also his high. So I think my guess is they're going to keep trying to, you know, slowly stretching him out. Maybe next time he goes 4 innings and by, you know, the middle of summer, he might be up to a normal 5 or 6 innings if he keeps pitching well. I think they want to take it slow with him. He had the knee injury and all that, but I would assume if he keeps pitching well that they'll try to stretch him out and turn him into more of a, you know, traditional starter if they can.
I don't have it in front of me. How many years do we have of control of him? Is it a couple?
It's got to be at least. Yeah, I'm gonna say just off the top of my head, like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Maybe even more, 3, 4, 5, somewhere in there.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's calling to take him away. So
They might be. He has more games like what he just did.
He looked amazing.
Well,
yesterday.
I mean, that's why. But like on the cafe.com, we did a little preview thing at the beginning of the year, and I wrote about him in the starting pitching preview. And part of it was they went out and got him from the Royals because I think he was the same idea that they had for Brian Mitchell. Was this pitcher who was kind of cast aside a little bit and forgotten about because of injuries or control or whatever it was. And they were hoping he could turn it around in San Diego. And it worked for Stram. Brian Mitchell.
Not so well.
I don't know if he's allowed to play baseball anymore professionally. I mean, on the Padres, he can. He's our ace. But other than that.
He's like poisoned.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, actually.
I actually haven't seen him pitch in the past couple of games, but I have not watched all the games very closely. I don't know what he's been doing recently, but last time I saw him pitch was the last home game at Petco, and it was horrible.
Yeah, when Mitchell comes in, you kind of try to find something to do for 20 minutes or so and take a break and come back and kind of hope he's out of the game.
It's
kind of the way I've been doing it.
Yeah. It's horrible.
When you see Mitchell enter a game, it's like someone turning the lights on while you're having sex. And she's like, oh God. Oh,
I think they cart off like a section of the locker room so the other guys don't have to see him.
Yeah.
He's like a leper.
I think we should start a hashtag like analogies for Mitchell pitching because we've had a couple good ones going online. It's
hashtag Mitchell time.
But I mean, this has been interesting this season. Recently the Margot and Renfro have kind of had a mini resurgence. Do you think it's real? Do you think they've sorted some things out from what you've seen? Margot and Renfro particularly?
Yeah, I mean, to a degree. I think Dennis Lynn had a good article the other day at The Athletic about Manuel Margot and kind of the adjustments that they're trying to make at the big league level with him. And it's kind of interesting that they've kept him in the majors through his kind of struggles when in the past, they've sent guys like Hunter Renfro back to El Paso to kind of work on things. So I think it's tough to adjust know, to make like mechanical changes when you're in the majors and you're playing, you know, every day or, you know, every couple of, you know, 2 out of 3 days or whatever. So yeah, he's playing, you know, he's playing a little bit better. You expect that. I think his early struggles were, you know, there's going to be some positive regression. He was just really kind of scuffling, but his numbers weren't really that far off from last year. If you're looking at like walks and strikeouts and stuff like that. So I think he's going to gradually kind of turn into form of what we saw last year. And at least that's the hope. And then with Renfro, yeah, he looks like a better hitter the last, you know, last few weeks as well. He's kind of going to opposite field sometimes and he's not striking out quite as much. So I think you just kind of, you know, you want to see more, you know, more plate appearances from those guys and just see them keep playing better and keep making adjustments. But it's been a positive couple of weeks for both of them.
Yeah, I wonder about Renfro if he can just fix that tendency to just be so impatient at the plate. I mean, that's the one thing with him. I mean, you see all the talent there, but he has some at bats. He falls into that cycle where it's just crazy.
It's like, if he could just like recognize like a slider and just not swing at it, you know, that's going to be outside and or it's going to be low, but that's kind of like, that's like the main thing of becoming like a major league hitter is to be able to kind of recognize pitches and have good at bats. So it's, you know, not everybody is able to do it. And I guess the adjustments that he's made recently are a positive sign. And he's obviously got to show that he can do that, you know, for the rest of this season and kind of get back on track, because he has as much, you know, raw power as anybody in the organization probably. And when he's going well, it's, you know, he's fun to watch. So if he can work on that approach, then they might still have something with him.
Yeah. I mean, have you been critical of the, it seems like every time they post a lineup, Padres Twitter loses its mind. But I mean, do you think they're like developing those guys correctly? It seems like sometimes they move them around in the order. They don't start every game and it drives people nuts. I mean, how do you guys feel?
Yeah. About it? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Go ahead. Why you asked ahead. Him and then you turned it to us. I mean, I'm well documented on my hatred for lineup fidgeting around. I hate that stuff. And I think I don't think it's good. And I think it's overrated and they should stop doing it so much. But I've said that about a million times.
It is starting to solidify a little bit though.
I guess.
You notice that? Like,
I mean, Jankowski has been leading off more than probably
just not starting
else.
Enough. In my opinion, like he should start every game. Just let that go. But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough.
The one thing that I don't really like is Margot in the eighth spot. And I know some other people have brought that up too. It's kind of a weird spot to hit in the National League when you got the pitcher right behind you. You really never know if the pitcher is going to attack you like in a normal at bat, or are they just trying to pitch around you if there's two outs or something. So it's kind of a weird spot to put a young player. And I know they might be putting him there to kind of say, you know, go out there and take some pitches and get ahead in the count. But I'd prefer if he was somewhere else, whether it's seventh or first or whatever. It's kind of a weird spot to put a young hitter. I'd rather put Ellis there or something like that. But otherwise, you're going to have kind of fluctuations in the lineup. And I don't think it's a huge deal. But I do agree that I'd rather have something more consistent from night to night.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that's been debated a lot is Margot a leadoff hitter or not? And I wonder, like, if that's a skill set that you could learn by just being put in that position every day. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's interesting to, you know, I think we look a lot at the guys and we're like, oh, Margot he's got all the tools, so he needs to hit higher up in the lineup, and that's where he needs to sit because of his pedigree. But I look at, like, what the Yankees are doing right now, and they're sticking pretty strong with the lineup from night to night. And one of their best hitters is Gleyber Torres, and he's hitting ninth, you know, I mean, or eighth or whatever. Sorry, off the top of my head, I don't know. Ninth, right? He's hitting ninth.
Yeah, the DH.
Yeah. And he's doing great. I mean, he's probably the most successful ninth hole hitter there is. So, like, I don't know the problem with saying, like, taking Margot and going, well, does it matter if he hits leadoff? Like, if he has the tools, put him down in the lineup where he can fail more and not make a big deal out of it. Like, let him hit eighth for the rest of the season. You know, but yeah. then there'd be this uproar. Well, he's better than an eighth hitter. But what does that matter? You know what I mean? Like, nowadays, what does it matter? You know?
Prove it.
Yeah, it just feels like there's a lot of norms in baseball that are starting to get destroyed. Like, if you have a fast center fielder who can hit, he should hit first. That's just how we grew up, you know? And I think that's something, and you see this even with the shifting controversy, I guess. It's like, should players do that? Is that, that's a non-traditional way to do it? Even the starter debate, like, should there be a starter? I think you're seeing all these modern managers challenge these things in real ways.
Well, look at Joe Madden and the Cubs, and he leads off Rizzo and Bryant. And I think the theory is, well, if the guy gets a double, then he's starting at second. You don't need him to steal a base. You know what I mean? Like, if he hits a home run, you're up one, and you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a different philosophy than, well, they need to get the speedy guy. Jankowski gets the first. He can steal second, or he can be disruptive on the base path. I mean, that's not a dead philosophy, obviously, but it's like, why be holden to that if you actually can't really make that happen on the field?
Well, and here's another philosophy that no one really talks about. At least I don't hear it. Is when you're going up against someone that typically can pitch, it's better to not have your best hitters up right away and have guys that can just work the count and wear the guy out. And so that in like the fourth or fifth inning where you typically maybe have a pitcher coming up second. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
The lineup is now in the heart of the order. I don't know. I haven't seen that messed around with too much, but I've heard different theories on, throwing your better hitters back in the lineup.
Yeah.
So, well, it's interesting to see all this baseball change.
Well, it's nice to see that the people are trying new things with the lineup, because to me it's interesting that we've the 3-4 hitter, I get it. And it's like, but like you're saying with the trying to wear out the pitcher, and we just talked about it 5 minutes ago. It's like, well, that's probably changing. You're having starters go 4.5 innings.
Right,
So who gives a shit if you're wearing out the pitcher?
Right.
It's like, back to Brad Hand. I mean, if he was pitching in Trevor Hoffman's generation and he was put in the eighth inning and didn't get a chance to get a save, in that traditional scenario, he would, there's a good chance a guy, maybe not because his personality's like that, but like, there's a good chance that player would get upset because he's ruining his stats, and that would be a commodity.
The Padres organization back at the time, because that was such good marketing, would have probably, fired whatever.
In today's game, the fact that he can be that versatile, he can go in the eighth and pit, face the best hitter.
Right.
Other teams are watching that, and they're saying, wow, like, I could really use that in a playoff series. I think that's...
Well, and I like it, too. It's like, football has always experienced new, innovative ways to run plays, like Coryell in the 70s and 80s or whatever. And, so it's nice to see that, like, completely different strategies are being tried, because baseball's kind of gotten so traditional.
Right.
That I think the shift is cool.
Well, talking about traditions, hey. Dustin, you wrote a great piece about Ryan Schimpf. And on the athletic.com or at the athletic app.
.gov.
.gov. Yeah. I love the idea that there was a Schimpf era and a post Schimpf era, and we're living in the post Schimpf era now. But
I think I might have made that one up, but
it was an era, and we all lived it. But
we did.
Yeah, your piece was basically about fly balls and how that the organization has changed direction now. They're with Schimpf, they had a higher rate, and obviously with him, but we're more of a ground ball team. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think I was looking at the numbers for like the past 3 or 4 years and trying to see, do teams fluctuate a lot year to year in ground ball percentage or ground ball or fly ball percentage? And it turns out that the Padres, I think they've dropped their fly ball percentage like 6.4 percentage points this year, which might not sound like a lot, but it's clearly the most of any team over the past, since like 2015.
Wow.
So it's like, it's almost double the next group of teams were all like 3.5 percentage points. So it's interesting from that aspect that it seems like there's kind of been like a, almost like an organizational shift to avoid the big fly ball hitters like Ryan Schimpf. And, it kind of coincides with the off season when they fired, Alan Dinter, who, I don't know, his exact philosophies on hitting or anything, but he had some interviews where he seemed like he was open to, like, guys with the launch angle revolution and all that stuff, the fly balls. And they switched to Matt Stairs, and then they obviously pursued Eric Hosmer over the offseason and signed him to an 8-year deal. And he's a big ground ball hitter. And now they're playing like Jose Perella pretty much every day. And he still doesn't have a home run, and he's got a pretty high ground ball rate this year. So it seems like they kind of got a year that Ryan Shimp experienced, and it went well at times. Like I was a big Shimp fan when he was playing well, but on the downside, when he wasn't playing well, it was really kind of tough to watch. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of pop ups, and it feels like there was almost like a little bit of a organizational divide over that type of player, and that they decided to go kind of to the more line drive / ground ball guys after getting rid of Shimp.
Yeah.
That's just my theory anyways.
That's a good one.
It's amazing. Yeah, I remember the beginning of the season when Hosmer was, early part of the Hosmer era that we're in too. But people were very critical about how he was always hitting ground balls, and it was like a fear that we all had, it seemed like. But
oh, really? See, I'm a big proponent of the ground ball. I love the ground ball. I'm a single scores more runs than some guy trying to hit home runs. So I'm a big fan of, the line drive in the gap.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing with like the ground ball, fly ball debate is that it really just comes down to line drives. Like you really want line
that's
drives.
That's what you want.
Yeah. Nobody catches line drives, once or twice out of 10 times or whatever. If you can hit a line drive, you're gonna get a single or a double or a triple. So that's kind of the name of the game, and then it just depends off of the line drives. Do you prefer the fly balls or the ground balls? And in the end, it doesn't make a huge difference if you're hitting line drives, and that's kind of been the story of Hosmer's career. When he's hit a lot of line drives, he's had success, and when he hasn't, he's had down years. So it's interesting to look at that line drive number and see how he's doing in that category.
Yeah, what do we think of Hosmer so far? What's his report? His grade?
I mean, you take it first, Dustin. Yeah, you go first.
Yeah, I give him a solid B so far.
Yeah.
Isn't that Hosmer though? He's always been a solid B.
Like he's a smart baseball player in 2018.
Yeah, yeah, he's not a superstar, and he's not gonna really, really suck.
But you don't know that. I mean,
every year
he's always been a Royal. There's something that happens. Look at Kemp.
You don't know, but I would argue the parks are pretty similar. I mean, right?
It's not even park. It's attitude. It's just vibe. There's lots of things that go into this. And I think that I was worried that he was going to come here and just feel the pressure of a city that's never won jack crap and just – I can
argue with you that I don't think any baseball players ever come to the Padres and felt pressure to do anything.
Well, then we're not doing our job.
Well, I think some fans might. I think he's being exactly what he was projected, pretty close to being what he was projected.
Which is,
and we're not used to paying this much money, but this is what you pay for this.
Yeah,
we just never did it.
I'm not mad at it so far at all.
Yeah.
Do you see, Dustin? Sorry to cut you off, but from what you see. Happening because I mean, there's obviously the tank philosophy that everybody's been talking about for the last 25 years, but or it feels like it. But like what with this whole tank movement, and it feels like we're starting to kind of come out of that mind frame that we're actually trying to build this team. I mean, I wasn't a fan of the Hosmer signing, but I honestly do feel like he's a nice cornerstone to build a team around that could contend. Is that what you're seeing on your end?
Just getting back to Hosmer, if you look at his numbers last year, like you guys mentioned, compared to this year, it's basically the same exact production. And last year was his best year. So offensively, he's doing he's doing everything we could have expected. I think obviously he doesn't hit a ton of home runs, but he's got a few, and he's just been a solid hitter. And yeah, I think you hope that he just kind of stays as this kind of player for the next 3 or 4 years. And when the Padres get competitive, whether it's 2020 or 21 or whatever it is, even next year, you've got a solid player in the middle of the lineup who's been around for a couple of years and who is won a World Series. So, yeah, I think he's a nice player to build around. I was up and down on the signing at the time. I was initially really down on it, and then I kind of came around on it. But it's not necessarily the kind of player that I would invest a lot of money in just because he's a first baseman. And like we said, he doesn't have a lot of power. But at the same time, If he keeps playing to his potential like he has the last 2 years, then he's a good player.
Well, I think so much of the concern with Hosmer was what they were going to do with Will Myers, and what are we going to do with Will Myers?
It's crazy.
Feels that
it's like you forget about him.
It's like I haven't seen him in seven Ryan Shimps ago.
That's another part of the Hosmer signing that didn't make a whole lot of sense is, you know, you're signing him to play first, and that's where the guy who you just signed to an extension plays. So it's not really the best use of resources, I don't think, but, you know, you try to make the best of it at this point, and when Myers comes back, so he plays well and kind of see where it goes. He's going to probably have his job. Obviously, he's going to have his job back in the outfield, and there's kind of a logjam in the outfield right now, but we'll see when he comes back. It sounds like it's not going to be till like July. So you hope he comes back and plays really well and can kind of play himself back into being a part of this team going forward.
Cool.
That's a positive
spin on it anyways.
You've been at the Athletic for a while. Do they talk about the tank a lot there? Is that like, do they just walk around and you and Dennis Lynn are just having coffee about the tank?
Yeah, what's the office like?
Is there an office? Is it just office. Your house? Does Dennis it's Lynn all, sleep yeah, at your house?
It's decorated in, you know, old, you know, World War II paintings and stuff, with tanks and stuff like that. But
nice.
So when they drink, who changes the most?
Yeah.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Don't answer that. But hey, well, it's really great that they brought you on. I mean, I've been reading; it's awesome. And where can people find the Sack Bunts newsletter? It's just sackbunts.com or Sack Bunts.
Yeah, Sack Bunts newsletter is still going.
Cool.
Sackbuntsnewsletter.com. If you're really interested in some weird Padres writing, you can subscribe there for a pretty reasonable price. But check out the Athletic too, and. As you guys know, if you're, I think you guys are subscribers. Yeah. There's a lot of not just Padres stuff, but there's baseball all around the league, and there's football and hockey and whatever sport you're also into. You can find really good writing on that too. So yeah, check it out.
Cool. Well, before we let you go, LeBron or Jordan? Just kidding. You don't have to do that.
I'm going with Jordan.
Okay.
Damn right. You
90s
are.
Kid. Right?
Just barely, but yeah, I was growing up in the '90s still.
Sweet.
And not Jordan still.
All I have
one
to say
title
is
title for LeBron, and now I'll see the title to LeBron.
No, but Jordan never broke his hand like a big baby.
But Jordan also needed
what a baby.
Jordan also needed two superstars around him at all times.
It doesn't matter. Well, so does LeBron.
No, he doesn't.
He obviously does. He hasn't won since he's had it.
We don't need to have
this
fight
such
with
a
Dustin
bad idea.
On the
phone. This was a bad idea.
But here's the thing. I was all
of superstar.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
Scottie Pippen could have gone to any other team and been the leader. I mean, he went to Portland for God's sakes and took them to the playoffs.
He's like the fourth best Blazer.
Yeah, dude. He is the only reason why he wasn't a superstar was because he wasn't the lone, you know, shooter on his own team in his prime.
Hey, LeBron had really me really convinced after this playoffs, but this finals with the hand thing, I'm like,
yeah.
You can't be the greatest of all time and literally be the biggest whiny brat on the planet.
No, but that's the NBA, dude. They're all whiny brats. They're
but
all
to
whiny
be the
brats,
whiniest,
all,
be the king of the whiny brats.
All they do is talk crap.
That's what he
it's
is.
Just like one. Like you ever go to a playground and you just get into a pickup game? That's what the NBA is. It's the outtakes from White Men Can't Jump. That's all it is.
We're starting a new podcast at the Kept Faith. LeBron or Jordan? Goat. Goat Radio. That's it. Hey, well, thanks for coming on, Dustin.
Durant.
Follow Dustin at Sack Bunts Dustin, and check out all his stuff. Yeah, you're doing great at the Athletic, man. We're all really proud of you. It's really
love
cool.
Love the work.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate coming. I always love coming on and talking some Padres baseball with you. Thanks again.
See ya. Bye.
The Padres are
ball busters.
Well hit deep right. At the fence, it is going in.
Right center field, way back. They're near, going, it's gone.
Great play, off balance, throw to first. They got him, a sensational play by Alan Wiggins.
2-0. High fly ball, well hit right field, look out. Maldonado at the wall, Terry Kennedy, home run.
Drive to deep right field. If it's fair, the Padres will have the lead. It is a fair ball.
Going back is Reynolds, and it's...
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego Podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's Erin at VOSD.org.